All right, good morning. I really appreciate the Giddings ministry. I have a personal story behind that. I think I've shared it a couple times. Maybe I won't share it this morning, but during the military, little green New Testament with the Psalms and Proverbs in it. Yes, sir, that's it. Meant a lot to me during some times, you know, in the military. So, yeah, for sure. So at the end, we're going to have a love offering. And deacons are going to stand at the back, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord to give this ministry. I really believe in giving to ministries that are actually doing something. You have to be careful these days about who you give your money to. And with Gideon's, it's fertile ground, good soil. So when you plant into that, you know you're planting in good soil, that there will be definitely some fruits from that years to come. So, amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray for this message. Pray for the word that goes forth, that it would not return void, just like you said, Lord. We trust that. And pray for our time today. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in. Good to see some of the visitors. And right on. So that's good. Excited about that. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of John. And Derry's going to put it up on the screen. As you know, if you're visiting, we've been going through the book of John. We've been going verse by verse through the book of John. And this morning, we're going to finish chapter 6. So we're going to finish up chapter 6. And so if you remember chapter 6, right, we started out with Jesus multiplying the bread and the fish. And then he went on to, what was next? Anybody remember? Walking on the water, remember that? Definitely. And never getting freaked out by the bad weather. Jesus walked on the water and did that. And then we talked a little bit about last week, what? The bread of life. So we're going to finish up chapter 6 this morning. And again, we're going to go by verse. So let's start out verse 51. So let's read and let's go. It says, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, verse 52 goes on and says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, they were thinking about his literal flesh here. And they were still not looking at this thing from a spiritual point of view. They were still looking at it as a physical thing. And, when Jesus says, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? That's what these people said to Jesus. I think here they were being a little passive aggressive. I think that they were looking for an excuse not to listen to Jesus. They were looking for, they were rationalizing a way to be sort of offended so they could not listen. I don't think they really thought, that Jesus wanted them to eat on his flesh like some crazy zombie or something. That was ridiculous. And I don't think that. And here really, if you read the scriptures and start looking at them, Jesus at this point was like saying, I see you boys have a little hard time with this. That's kind of, if you read the scriptures. And he was telling them, well, I'm getting ready to really crank it up a notch. And that's what Jesus did. If you look at verse 53, he went right there with them. Verse 53, he says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly. And what does that mean? Truly, truly. Remember last week? This is a firm thing. Like Jesus saying, all right, now listen. When he says truly, truly, he's saying, listen, I got something real important to say here. I need you to focus. So focus. So Jesus says, truly, 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 I say to you. And here's where he gets them really good for the roundhouse punch. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, right here, Jesus is pointing out to them that they are dead in their sin and they have no life in them. And he's telling them, he's telling these guys that have been trying to live by the law and trying to be kosher and not mix blood with the meat and the fat and all, mixes up. So he's really getting them right here. So let me pause for just a minute. I'm going to give what I call a kid warning. Okay, so if you're under the age of 10, I want you to really listen to me here. 10 or 12. Really listen, okay? Because I'm about to talk about some things. Jesus is about to teach some things that are kind of sort of unusual and different. And he's using what's called a metaphor. Okay, so if you're young and you're listening, he's using kind of what's called a metaphor, okay? And a metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or a phrase is kind of used to make a point. In other words, it's kind of a play on words. Are young kids listening? It's kind of a play on words, right? Let me give you a couple examples. You ever heard anybody say, "Wow, it's raining like cats and dogs"? Any kids, you ever heard somebody say that? Raise your hand. It's raining like cats and dogs. I mean, is it really raining? Little kittens and puppies from the ground, you know, from the air. It's not really raining cats and dogs, but they're trying to make a bigger point. Has anybody heard this one before? Man, she has a heart of gold. Anybody heard that one before? You know, does her muscle in her chest literally made of gold? No, not really. They're just making a point. Some of you old folks have heard this. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Or, "You are my sunshine." Are you really his sunshine? Not really. These are metaphors. These are figure of speeches, words used to make a point. And most time kind of a spiritual point or maybe a big point. So kids, this is where I'm getting ready to go, okay? So here, let's look at the scripture. So verse 54, Jesus is using some metaphors here to make a big point. So 54, he says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 55, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. And 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Now you got to remember last week we talked about Moses and the man on the bread, and they were living one day at a time, and now Jesus is presenting to them that if you eat from him, that he gives us eternal life, not life one day at a time. And then verse 59, it talks about Jesus saying this in the synagogue. He's up in front of all these folks teaching and preaching and sharing in Capernaum. Now, here's a major point that we don't want to miss in this. Jesus is also preparing them. He's preparing these men for the Last Supper. And he's setting up what we call the institution of communion. And it's really interesting because we're going to have communion next week, you know. So this is what he's doing. He's setting this up. He's not suggesting to them to start eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Jesus is standing right there before them. You know what he's saying? He's saying that very soon, he's going to give his life for them. He's going to die on the cross. And his flesh will be bruised and beaten. And the blood that flowed down an old rugged cross cleanses our sins as a sacrifice for the world. That's what he's really sharing. He's getting this point across. Everybody with me? So now, remember the upper room? The upper room, everybody know about that stuff, right? The upper room, Jesus makes it very clear that the blood is the symbol of life. Very clear. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Okay? God taught that to them at the very beginning when he called them out of the land of Egypt. A medical science today even validates that. It tells us today that life really is in our blood. Right, Heath? Jesus has given his body. He has shed his blood on the cross for all of us. So this morning, I want to encourage you to place your trust in him. Believe and accept him as your personal Savior. Now, when we talk about the communion, the Lord's Supper, down through the ages, there's been much disagreement about the Lord's Supper. A lot of folks have taken it all kinds of crazy ways. Even today, believe it or not, people take this in crazy different ways. I'm going to list three this morning. Three, real quick. These are how things are interpreted by some people. Now, the first one, which I do not agree with. Let's get that straight, right? The first one, there are folks that say and have said in the past that salvation only happens after confession, baptism, and someone partaking of the Lord's Supper. And there are still churches out there today, right now, that believe you can't get saved until you confess, you get baptized with water, and you take the Lord's Supper, you do communion. No, I don't believe that. Number two, there are folks out there who say that the Lord's Supper is just a ritual. There's no spiritual experience with it. It doesn't really mean anything, and they do it just out of obedience because Jesus said to do it. I don't agree with that one. Now, there's number three, which I do agree with. I subscribe to this one. Wouldn't come out. It's like aluminum. Anyway, subscription. Subscribe to this one. And I agree with this one. I'm going to be redneck about that. I agree with this one. And I believe Pauline Baptist Church does and Southern Baptist churches do. Number three, we participate, which is really the meaning of the word communion. Communion means we get together all at one time and we participate. Koinonia is the name. Koinonia is the word for that. We all get together and partake. So anyway, number three is we participate in the Lord's Supper out of our love for Christ and our willingness to be obedient to what he asks us to do, and that there is a spiritual connection that happens there in communion. Amen? And we'll talk more about that next week. One day, I heard a really sweet story from an old radio preacher talking about communion. And he said that whenever he takes communion, especially the juice, the grape juice, that whenever he takes the grape juice, he likes to keep it in his mouth a little bit and kind of wiggle it around and really taste the sweetness of the grape juice. And I love what he said. The reason for it is it reminded him. It reminded him of the personal sacrifice of Christ on the cross and reminded him that Jesus bore the bitter cup of the cross so that he can have the sweet cup. Man, I thought that was just powerful. And I want to, next week, I'm going to encourage you to kind of think about that, how sweet that is, Verse 60. It says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. We can't listen or we can't understand this. This is too hard. Now, when you look at the Greek on that word listen, like some translations say understand, it's not that they didn't understand it really. It's not that they couldn't listen or hear it. The Greek word for that, whether you look at it in the King James or whatever, You know, it really, the Greek word for that is accept. It's about acceptance. In other words, they heard, they somewhat understood, but what they just, man, this is too hard. I can't accept this. I don't know if I can accept this. This is hard. Verse 61 says, but Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Now, Jesus understood that sometimes his teachings would offend people. Yet he did not change his teachings. Jesus didn't preach just to please an audience. Amen? He told the truth. If that was his concern, whenever he recognized that he may have offended them, he would have changed his mind and backpedaled, and he would say, "Oh, I'm sorry. You might have misunderstood me. I'm sorry. Let me." But no, Jesus didn't take it back. He knew where he was going with this message. He actually challenged them even more. He even confronted them even more. Verse 62 says, Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Do you know what this means? If you look at this, what this means is Jesus is basically saying, it's better to be offended now and to get over it than to be offended whenever you stand before God and he says, why should I let you in my heaven? It's a whole lot better to say, man, I'd like to give my life to Christ and start going to church, and man, I don't know if I can give up, you know, this or that. And we're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about once you become saved and born again, and then that desire to want to plug in really and really get involved and start going to Sunday school, start going to Wednesday night Bible study, you know, start getting involved, you know, volunteer and doing things. I don't know if I can. Jesus basically said it's better, right? It's better to be offended for them to be offended than when you stand before God. Number 63. It is the Spirit, here's Jesus talking, it is the Spirit who gives life. Listen closely to these little words. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. It doesn't profit them at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. Right here, Jesus is proving to them that he's talking about spiritual things. Right here. He's proving to them. He's not talking about physical things and flesh and blood and, you know. He's talking about spiritual things here. Verse 64. But there are some of you, this is Jesus, he's saying, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who would betray him. Jesus knew. I mean, guys, listen. Jesus. Yes, he was 100% man. He was 100% God. I mean, Jesus was and is the great I am. Remember? He's the great I am. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. If Jesus wanted to know who was going to accept him and who was going to betray him and who was going to walk away, I guarantee you he knows. And he knows today. I believe that. He knows who's going to accept him and who's going to reject him. I mean, either is Almighty God, the knower of everything, or it's a secret to him. I don't think it is. Verse 65, and he said, this is why I told you that no one, everybody say no one. No. Really? I mean, this is Scripture. It's not Dallas. teaching some crazy teaching stuff. 65, and he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So we have to rest on also that Jesus said that, you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that God loved the world so much that whosoever called upon him can be saved. So the opportunity is there for anyone to give their life to Christ. Is God calling you today? Is the Holy Spirit drawing you today? If you're listening on the internet, maybe the Holy Spirit's drawing you today to give your life to Christ. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now it says, after this, many of his disciples turned back. Now, he's not really talking about the 12 right here. He's talking about many disciples. They had hundreds of people following around. I'm sure all 5,000 didn't get in the boats and come across, you know, the pond. I don't think there was that many boats that blew up during the storm, you know, to get across over there. Practically speaking, right? There was quite a few that ended up there. More came, found him. But see, these guys, they couldn't handle it. It was too much for them. So when Jesus starts talking about denial of the flesh, you mean I can't look at porn anymore? Oh, the kids all over his hand. Woo. Wait, what's that? I can't. No, I'm not saying y'all are looking at it, but I'm saying, you know. For real. I mean, you mean I can't, you know, I can't do this anymore? I can't do that anymore? I need to repent of this? Whew. Right? When he starts talking about the life of the Spirit and the partaking of spiritual things, it was too much for them. It's too much for people sometimes. They can't handle it. So they just walk away. Even though we're saved by grace and it's so simple and easy to be saved, it's so simple and easy to live a Christian life when you give it all to Him and you don't think that you got to do it yourself and live by your own works. You know, when we start thinking we got to do all these works, that's wrong. To get saved, definitely. Even when you become a Christian, if you do all these works and make God happy or pleased with you, that's wrong. Jesus was telling them, the flesh will profit you nothing, but the words that I speak, their spirit and their life. They couldn't handle it. Verse 67. Everybody with me? Verse 67. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Jesus looked at the 12, said, do you want to walk away too? Now, listen to me right here. Let me share something with you. As John phrases our Lord's question in the Greek, he implies that it was not asked with a mood of despair. Don't read that like Jesus says, are y'all going to leave me too? Or y'all going to go away too, dadgummit? That's not the way Jesus said it. Okay? The use of the Greek wording indicated that the answer no was expected. In other words, Jesus looked at him and says, you don't want to go away either, do you? You don't want to go away too. He knew. And they knew. And then Simon Peter, and we're almost finished right here. I love this, 68, verse 68. This is so precious because Peter would get himself in so much trouble with his big mouth. Right? If you study, you know what I'm saying. I mean, he's just, you know, there it is, and Peter's in trouble and getting rebuked and called the devil and everything else, you know. But right here, this is such a precious moment in Peter's life. I think it's because at this point, man, he's just been broken and humbled and just was sort of like, And when Jesus said, "Y'all, you guys want to leave too?" You know. And Peter said in verse 68, says, "And Simon Peter asked him, Lord, to whom shall we go?" I mean, you really think about that. To whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Where else are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where would you go if you decided you wasn't going to do this church thing anymore? You wasn't going to do this going to church, being a Christian. You don't want to do that anymore. Where are you going to go? The world has nothing for you. Oh, it may have something for you for a season. Right? Where are you going to go? We are your family. We love you. Really. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Verse 69, Peter says, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter says, we have believed. And I mentioned a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning, but that word believed, that doesn't mean just we believe, because the Bible says that demons believe in Jesus. You believe in this man called Abraham Lincoln that was president of the United States based on history, right? On some facts and information. But you don't know for sure. It could be one big scam, you know. But you don't, you know. So that word believe goes deeper. It goes more into what's called trust. I trust him. You can't just believe in Jesus. A lot of people that are not saved, they're unbelievers. They're not saved, who actually believe in the historical Jesus and believed he actually died on the cross, because it said that in the history books on the History Channel. You know, it was on the History Channel. You know, they actually believe. But what this scripture right here, this word, if you do a word study, it means you believe, you trust. You put your personal, eternal destiny, you're trusting in Christ. That when you die, when your heart stops, whether it's tonight or 10 years from now or 100 years from now, when you die and your heart stops, you have not only believed in Christ, but you are trusting in Calvary. You are trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection. You are trusting that when you stand before God and He says, why should I let you in my heaven? You are trusting with everything that's within you that Christ died on the cross for you and took your place where I deserved punishment and eternal separation from God forever. But Jesus took my place. He took that punishment for me. His body was bruised. He was beaten. And his flesh and the blood that was poured out was royal blood. It was God's blood. It wasn't man's blood. It wasn't Joseph's blood, because he was his adopted father. You've heard me talk about that before, right? It was royal blood. The Holy Spirit implanted that blood into Mary to become a flesh human being, that Jesus was born. So it wasn't Joseph's blood. It was royal blood, worthy to be slain, poured out upon the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me cover these last two and we'll go. Amen? Speaking for the 12 disciples, Peter stepped up and gave a humble but wonderful testament of his faith when he said this in verse 68 and 69. You see, Peter recognized that Jesus is Lord. He recognized Jesus as the preferred alternative, despite some difficulties that were being talked about. He recognized the value of spiritual things more than the material and earthly things of those who had walked away. And he recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. He was the Son of the living God. In verse 70 and 71, Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you? Did I not choose you? Has Jesus chosen you?" If you're here this morning, everybody listen, Jesus has chose you. If you think somebody's listening by the internet or on my website, Jesus has chose you. There's no doubt. He's chose you to be here listening to the gospel, to the word of God. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. He's chosen you to hear the word. Verse 71. Wait a minute. Where am I at? Verse 70. "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" 71. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he is the 12 and was going to betray him. Verse 71. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. We'll get into Judas. We'll get into Judas Iscariot as we move on in the Gospel of John. Okay, we'll talk more about his cat later. But from the beginning, the Bible says Jesus knew who it was that would betray him. So, next week, we'll get into chapter 7. I'm excited about that, so hang on to that. I love studying the book of John. I hope you're getting some out of it as we go through it. Some insights into Jesus and Jesus' teachings. These insights would show us who Jesus really is. That he really is the Son of God. He really is the Savior of the world. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the Gideons. Lord, we just want to pause just a minute, Lord, and give whosoever an opportunity to come and get saved. Come and give their life to Christ. Maybe you've been playing church. Maybe you just never really made that decision. Could be a teenager, young person. Could be an old person. Got a lot of old people in here, Father, I know, that need to get saved. We're listening to us on the internet. Lord, we love you. We ask you that your will be done during this time. Lord, as we sing this song of invitation, if you feel in your heart to come down, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to help you meet our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.